What I am about to reveal to you has taken me years to find, finally, and to understand. And I'm giving it to you for free in less than 15 minutes. There is no way that you can appreciate just how valuable this treasure that I'm going to place in your hands. It will blow your mind, both from today's readings, as it happens, and from a church-approved mystic. Unbelievable stuff. If you want to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. So we learn best when we learn from our mistakes and from the mistakes of others. And the father of mistakes, the father of sin, and the disposition that leads you to sin is none other than Satan. So if we can learn from him, we can, at least when we want to, avoid all sin and there find the secret to holiness, something that is never really made clear. I will make absolutely crystal clear to you. Let's get right into this reading from the mystical city of God. I will try to place somewhere where it is found, but just know that it is from Blessed Mary of Agreda, mystical city of God. Let's hear this. Now this will be and show us the inner disposition of Satan at the moment that he rebelled. At first, they received a more explicit intelligence of the being of God, the angels, one in substance, trine in person, and that they were commanded to adore and reverence him as their creator and highest Lord, infinite in his essence and attributes. All subjected themselves to this command and obeyed it, but with a certain difference. The good angels obeyed through love on account of the justice of it, offering their love and goodwill, freely admitting and believing what was above their intelligence and obeying with joy. Now listen to this. Pay attention. Lucifer, on the other hand, submitted himself because the opposite seemed to him impossible. He did not do it with perfect charity, for he, as it were, was divided in his will between himself and the infallible truth of the Lord. In consequence, it happened that the precept appeared to him in a measure difficult and violent, and his fulfilling of it was wanting in love and in the desire to do justice. It gets into more detail here. Thus, he exposed himself beforehand to the danger of not persevering. St. Vincent de Paul says that if we don't persevere, all the graces you receive are worthless. What does it matter, everything that we do, if we don't finish? Finishing is the ultimate virtue. Although grace did not leave him on account of his remissness and slowness in the accomplishment of these first acts, nevertheless, his bad disposition began with them. For they remained with him a certain weakness and laxity of virtue and spirit, and the perfection of his nature did not shine forth as it should. It appears to me that the effect of this remissness in Lucifer is similar to that which is caused in the soul by a deliberate venial sin. I do not say that he sinned mortally, nor even venially at the time, since he fulfilled the precept of God. But this fulfillment was remiss and imperfect, springing more from a sense of overwhelming compulsion than from a loving willingness to obey. Thus, he put himself in danger of falling. Did you hear that? Satan initially obeyed out of a sense of obligation because he had to, not because he wanted to, and it was his joy to. Do you see the difference? Now, there is no sin in one or the other, but this one, the having to, the obligation, is a foundation for the fall. And I've experienced this many, many, many times when I didn't really want to do the will of God, but I did it because it was the right thing to do. Guess what happened? I ended up failing. Imagine this. you're about to get married and you're so in love with your spouse and your spouse inside is like, I don't really want to marry her. She's kind of ugly. She doesn't look good and it's sort of annoying, but I have to because we're already here. Would you want someone like that marrying you? What an insult. That's how it is with God. If you don't really want to marry him, don't insult God. You're not doing God a favor by doing his will. You're doing yourself a favor. We should never do God's will if we don't really want to and are doing it with complete joy. Don't insult God. What should we do instead? Because I know many of you are confused right now. But you need to understand this because this is profound spiritual truth right here. What should we do instead? See, Satan and his pride could not admit that he didn't really want to. It would have been better for him to say, you know what? I'm not ready. I don't really want to right now. God, can you give me the grace to desire more to do your will? Because right now, I just don't want to. And if I do it, I'll do it. But I'll do it for all the wrong reasons. And that's the reality. You know why the pre-Vatican II church fell after Vatican II? If they were so committed to the Lord, why would a measly little council have any effect on them? Why? Some people kind of glorify how the church was before Vatican II, but I say you're wrong. They did not really love the Lord. They were a church of obligation because they were afraid to disobey. They loved God for all the wrong reasons. And as soon as they got the opportunity, as soon as you could, they did. Do you see that? That's why the pre-Vatican II church fell and broke in half, because they loved God because they had to. We will never reach heaven out of obligation. Never, never. If you're only loving God because you have to, then just leave. You need to love God because you want to, with all of your joy, with zero doubt, with zero compulsion. You don't believe me? Let's listen to today's first reading. This is going to blow your mind because this is powerful stuff. Brothers and sisters, from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. Brothers and sisters, consider this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion. Do you see that word? Compulsion. Never do God's will out of compulsion. It'd be better for you to wait or to say, no, not yet. For God loves a cheerful giver. So if you are giving or doing God's will with sadness, you are not doing God a favor. Nor are you doing you a favor, because eventually when it gets really hard, you'll fall. And the fall will be, don't even go there. Don't even go there. Yes, there's going to be moments, small moments, where we have to do things that we don't want to do. I don't really want to go to Mass today, but I need to go. But even then, there's something wrong with your heart. If you are in a place where I don't really want to love my wife, I don't really want to love my husband or my children, think, there's something wrong with my heart. Before I even continue doing anything, I need to stop and humbly, not pridefully, continue being too prideful to tell others where I'm at. I need to stop and admit to God, God, I don't want to do your will right now. I really don't want to love you right now. I don't want to do anything good. Can you please convert me? Please change me. Please give me the grace. Those are moments where we stop and pray and wait until we're ready. Until we want to do what the good angels did. What did they do? They did it with joy, lovingly. They abandoned themselves. Can you see the difference? Okay, yeah. That's you're laying yourself up to be like Satan. That's what you're doing. Or this, yes, Lord, I love you. This is awesome. I'm all in. That's how we should be. The difference is a universe of difference. My friends, I want you to seriously consider all that I have just said and understand it correctly and chew on it a lot, because I have been searching for this answer for years, and it cleared up so many doubts in my mind to where I now know if I'm not ready to do God's will, I'm not going to do it until I'm ready, and I'm not going to force myself. It'd be better for me to say no and wait and pray. Even Jesus himself says, if you have an army of 10,000 and you go up to a king who has an army of 20,000, aren't you going to stop and consider whether you can conquer them? And if you realize that you can't, you send delegations for a peace treaty. What's that a metaphor? Everything that I'm talking about. If you realize that you're at the moment of your death and you just can't do God's will, what do? You say, Lord, have mercy on me. I just don't want to. I'm not ready. You ask for mercy. You ask for a peace treaty, because that's at least one way into heaven. Or if you have this tower and you don't have enough to build it, don't do it until you have enough money, until you're ready. Then you do God's will. What good is it if you say, yes, Lord, and then you don't do it? Better is the son that says no, and then later on does it. Isn't there another parable where Jesus says this? Think about these things. Consider these things. My friends, if this video has been helpful to you in any way, please subscribe and like the video and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. By the way, this Friday, June 20th is my birthday. Wish me a happy birthday, because I celebrate my birthday like I'm a little kid. I love it. I will pray for you on that day, that we all be blessed. I'll see you in the next one.